Praise the Lord. If you're still awake, I said, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And thank you, Lord, for your power that you manifest according to your promise. I will pray, Lord, this time, as we hear your word, it will bear fruit in every life in Jesus' name. Lord, show us, reveal to us the things we have not known and the things we have known we are forgetting. Reveal more to us in Jesus' name. And let the word bear fruit in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking about Jesus Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Savior, the Sanctifier. Now we come to Emmanuel, Jesus the Healer. Emmanuel, Jesus the Healer. In Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. We're considering healing from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. We're considering healing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And here we find Emmanuel, Jesus, healing. And it says the servant of the centurion was healed in the selfsame hour. That's the result of the contact of the centurion with Christ. The centurion came to Christ. The centurion was humble. Humble because he said, I am not worthy. That's part of the condition of the healing that God gives. And he said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He believed in the final authority, in the efficacy of the word of Christ, the healer that comes before the healing. Humility on the one hand, faith that asserts, affirms, confirms the authority of Christ, the healer. And the Lord said, be done unto thee as thou hast believed. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Christ had perfect understanding. He knew that some of the people that were brought to him, the sicknesses were caused by evil spirits. And he cast out the evil spirit. Others, he healed that had no connection with evil spirit. He cast out the spirit with his word. There's no other means and there's no other weapon but the word of the Lord. And he healed all that were sick. Verse 17. In verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. the healing of the Lord comes as a result of fulfilling the prophecy. It's not in isolation. All that have been written about Christ, the prophecy, the prediction, the promise that this is what Christ will do. He does that not because of our feeling, not because of our passion. He heals not because of, Lord, look at who I am. No, he heals because of the fulfillment of the prophecy that had been declared before him, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. We're looking at three things as we talk about Emmanuel, Christ Jesus, the healer. Number one, the beginning of divine healing before Emmanuel's arrival. In the Old Testament, before he arrived, before he came, there was healing. And as you go back to the Old Testament, from the beginning to the end, you'll find Jesus, before he came, had known that healing had been there done by the Father. The beginning of divine healing before Emmanuel's arrival. Number two, the boundlessness of divine healing, definite healing, with Emmanuel's anointing. He came, and he came with anointing. He came with power, and the anointing upon him made him to heal everywhere, every form of sickness. And the healing, definite healing that he brought, was boundless. Number three, the blessing of desired healing after Emmanuel's ascension. Before his advent, before his arrival, healing. During his time here on earth, with anointing, healing. After he went back to heaven, after his ascension, healing continued to take place because of the stripes of Christ the Lord. We're coming to number one. Number one, the beginning of divine healing before Emmanuel's arrival. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Old Testament, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In the Old Testament, they had benefits. Benefits from the Lord. Benefits from the grace of God. Benefits of forgiveness. Benefits of salvation. Benefits of holy heart. Benefits of sanctification. The benefit of walking with the Lord. And the benefit of healing and deliverance. They added to in the Old Testament. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, great benefit, and who healeth all thy diseases. It wasn't just doctrine. It was the experience of having the forgiveness of sin and the healing of diseases. And you said, he says there, all thy diseases. And actually, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is no differentiation or distinction. That one is great, That one is small. That sickness has been there for a long time. That sickness is old age sickness. That sickness is a kind of hereditary sickness. Nothing like that. All the diseases, he healed them. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. To start with, there are people who believe that you cannot keep all the commandments of the Lord. The people who believe that the child of God, the believer, is so weak, he cannot hear, he cannot do, he cannot observe, he cannot obey the commandment of God. They charge God as a taskmaster that demands from his children, from the believers, what he knows is impossible. Let all men be liars. Let those doubters be liars. God is true. If we want relationship with him, and if we want the benefit that he provides from him, he says he demands that we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, and that we do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to the commandments of the Lord, and keep and keep and keep all his statutes. Then it says, I will not put any of the diseases upon thee which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He gives condition. He says, my power is not cheap. My healing is not cheap. And you don't pay with money. You come to him with a humble heart, a listening ear, and a life that wants to do the commandment of the Lord. Which means then, my brother, my sister, let's think through. If somebody devotes his life to sinning, if somebody devotes his life to contradicting the law of God, the law that he has given, even for our flesh, even for our body, and is misusing his flesh, misusing his body, and he's saying healing, healing is coming. No, we don't treat the scriptures aright. We must not give our flesh to sinfulness, to disobedience, to unrighteousness, and to the works of the flesh. We must not. We live according to his word. And then he says, if your life is different from the life of the Egyptians, I will put none of those diseases that are brought upon Egypt upon, I will not bring upon you, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. We're looking at Exodus chapter 23. And we're reading from verse 25. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And you remember? Serving the Lord your God. Depart ye from iniquity. All that bear the vessels of the Lord we serve the Lord in righteousness, in holiness, all the days of our life. If we come with the right mind, with the right attitude, and with a purged, purified heart, ye shall serve the Lord your God. If we have grace to serve God with reverence and godly fear, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. From the midst of thee. What will that mean? Number one, look at all the children of Israel. From the midst of the children of Israel, anywhere they were, the Lord will take sickness away from them. Somebody say amen. Take every individual. He says he will take sickness from the midst of us. In the midst of us, you know, it's not in the forehead, it's inside. Cancer is not on the forehead. You can take picture, nice picture, and people may not see the cancer. It's inside. And all those sicknesses that destroy, and also the sicknesses they called old age sicknesses, affecting the brain, affecting the mind, affecting the retina behind the eyes. They're not visible, and you cannot see. Look at that, look at that. It's in the midst. And the promise of the Lord is, if you will serve the Lord your God, he shall bless thy bread. I didn't hear amen there. I don't want to go too much into the bread, the food we eat. Sometimes it's not just what you are eating. What you are eating may eat you up. It will bless thy water. The importance of water in our system, so that we're well hydrated. And then it says it will take sickness away from the midst of thee. If you serve him. Hear some people say, Pastor, you know what? I cannot serve the Lord now. I say, why? I'm sick. I'm troubled. I have this. I have this challenge. I will not serve the Lord now. I'm challenging the Lord. When the Lord heals me, after the Lord has healed me, I will serve him. He is challenging you. That you put him first. That you don't put yourself first. That first of all, you will serve the Lord your God. And you will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. After that, all these things shall be added unto you. Serve the Lord your God, and he will bless you. I said, he will bless me. And take sickness away from the midst of thee. I'm serving the Lord. Let's just say for preaching, for illustration. I discover sickness in my body, in the midst of me, that others cannot see. But I know and feel and sense. What am I to do? Am I to give up service, give up preaching, keep up prayer, give up counseling, and say, Madam, you don't understand. You are coming for healing, you are coming for counseling. I have some challenges myself. And I've told the Lord, we made a deal that I will stop serving him. Let him heal me first. They say, but Pastor, you know the word of God. Tell me the word of God you think I know. It says, you will serve the Lord your God. Challenges, sickness, difficulty, sadness, unhappiness should not take away our commitment and consecration in serving the Lord, because it is in that serving the Lord, He will bless you. He will bless your bread. He will bless your water. And he will take sickness away from the midst of thee in Jesus' name. We know from the word of God, the people that had served the Lord, and when sickness came upon them, they pleaded with God. Look at 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm reading here from verse 1. In 2 Kings chapter 20, reading from verse 1. And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The people that will take that, the prophet said, I will die. And those who are giving prophecies, national, they spot you out and they say, I know you are deep alive and you may not believe this, you may not accept this, but I am a prophet of God. Have you read my prophecies in the newspapers? Have you read that every time I pronounce something, it comes to pass? Well, whether you accept or not, the Lord sent me to you and said, you will die. What do you do after that? You know, we need to know our Bibles. We need to exalt what we read in the Bibles above the prophecy of any prophet that may come to us. In these days of frivolous text sending, I hope you understand, you don't read every text. You don't read every charge. Sometimes I get some text, unreasonable text from people I don't even know. I see the number. This number is not among my regular contacts. And I send in a text. And they are saying God told them to tell me. Hold on. I'm your pastor. If you're a member of the church and the Lord wants to talk to me, he'll talk to me. It's not going to come through you. Do this and do that. I don't even know who they are. Normally, I delete texts and chats that I don't know the source they're coming from. I think people should have respect for everybody, respect for our environment. And just because you got somebody's telephone number from another person doesn't mean that you misuse that and you're frivolous and you're sending this and that. But here is Isaiah. He was not even a careless, unknown man. He was the prophet of God. And he told Hezekiah, set your house in order because you will die and not live. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, look at verse 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee. You must have a life that God is pleased with. You must have a life that will merit, if we say it that way, the goodness of the Lord and the healing power of the Lord. But if you're living carelessly and walking carelessly and jumping here, jumping there, no time for God, no time for his word, and no time for prayer, and when calamity now comes, God, where are you? And God replies and says, I'm here, but where are you? Where have you been? I've not heard your voice all these years. You're not praying. You're not reading my word. You're not living according to my word. I can't see the evidence of the sanctification that your pastor is talking about. It's because naturally I am weak. Okay, you don't want to obey me, you want me to obey your prayer. Doesn't work that way. Ezekiah said, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept. So look at verse 4. In verse 4, and it came to pass, for before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 5, he said, turn again and tell Ezekiah, the captain of my people. God, what am I going to tell him? You sent me to tell him that he will die and he will not live. And everybody knows me, that when I speak, it's done, it's confirmed. Now you are telling me to go back and reverse what I said already. Isaiah was sanctified. If he had to swallow his word, he will. If he had to reverse what he had said, he will. If he had to undo what he has done, because now this is God, he will. Are we like that? Are we like Isaiah, that you've been doing something? You even thought, here is what God told me to do. Here is what God sent me to say. If the Lord now says, because of the prayer of Ezekiah, the prayer of the leader of the king in the land, the prayer of somebody that came to have attention from God, because of that prayer, go back there and don't repeat what you said before. Reverse what you have said. Are we that holy? Are we that humble? Are we that submissive unto the Lord that we will do exactly what he has said? I keep on emphasizing, this church is built on the demand of God for holiness. Holiness will make us humble. Holiness will not make us rigid. After hearing the word, after praying and praying and praying, after we pour our hearts out and say, this is the way, walk ye therein, and leaders, people, members, workers are so rigid that they will not listen to the word of God. And when sickness comes, they think healing is cheap. Healing is there all the time. Why don't you come back to the Lord? Let him heal the heart first. Let him heal that stony heart first. And let him do a deliverance work, that he takes the stone out of the heart And now you can have an answer to the request of your life. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Amen. Isaiah, did you pray for him? No. Why not? God told me he will die, so he should set his house in order, so why should I pray? Okay. There are people that say, where's the pastor? Where's our Jesus? Where's my father, my own father? I am sick here. And can I get to him? Why? Can I not see my father? My sister, my daughter, don't die in that condition. Pray. If you pray, the Lord will answer your prayer. My brother, don't die in that condition. Where is the pastor gone? Well, here he's gone to that place, India, to that place, Zambia. He's gone to that place, Cameroon. He's gone to Togo. I'm here at the headquarters, and I'm sick here. I'm lonely here. I'm having a problem here. And the pastor, my father, is globe-trotting. If you're going like that, you might choose an insultive word. Be careful. Pray. If Isaiah is not available to pray for you, pray. God will answer your prayer. Amen. It says, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. I love that. Say, I love that. You know, God did not have to take permission from Isaiah. I told you to tell him he will die. Now, I hope this does not offend you, and it does not rub you in the wrong direction. I want to heal him. Isaiah, what do you think about that? God never asks permission of anyone. The final authority. He said he will die. He changed his mind now. He said, you will not die. He said, you will live. How about what I said before? What you said before is not as important as the plan of God, as the program of God, as the project of God. I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, and I will add unto thy days. Tell me if you can tell. Shout it if you are sure. You know that God still adds years to our lives? I said, do you know that God still adds years to our lives? He adds years to life. Listen to this. He adds life to years. Years to our life. That's chronological. That means he gives us more years. That means we can say another January to December, another January to December 15, he will add. Yet there's another side. He adds life to our years. What does that mean? It gives you that long life, and it also gives you the health span. Health span. That's the span of your life. Lifespan is extended, and within that lifespan, it also gives you health span. That's you are healthy, What's the point? If he gave him another 15 years, and the 15 years will be full of ulcer and cancer and deafness and dimness of sight, Alzheimer's, and dementia. What's the use? No. He has years to life. He has life to our years. He will do it for you in Jesus' name. That makes us healthy. That's divine health. That's divine healing. When you're sick, he heals you. That's divine health. He preserves you from sickness. He will do it. We're looking at Genesis chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 7. Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die." Thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are thine. That reemphasizes the understanding again. Sin brings sickness. Sin brings disease. Abimelech the king had sent for Sarah, and she had taken Sarah to his house and wanted Sarah to become one of his wives. That was against the plan of God, the project of God, what God wanted to do, and the promise the Lord had given that Abraham will have a child, Isaac, through Sarah. And the king, a man of authority, took that woman. Even though she was of age, yet she was still presentable enough, wanted her to be his wife. And Abraham did not have any authority. And now sickness came upon the whole family. And God said, "This sickness will kill you and kill all the members of your family. Only one condition: restore the man his wife." And I tell you, if that man said, "No, I love the woman so much, since she came, I want pleasure from her, I will not restore her, but I will fast." Fasting will not do it. I'll call for people who can pray, prayer warriors. Prayer warriors will not do it. Only one condition: repent of sin, make restitution, restore the man his wife. You see the healing that God gives. And this is the first healing in the Old Testament. And this was the condition that God laid upon him. And there are people, they don't want to hear about repentance. Heal me, heal me, heal me. They don't want to hear about restitution. Heal me, heal me. They don't want to hear about restoration. What you have taken unlawfully, restore that. Otherwise, your prayers will not be effective. You'll be praying to sealed heaven. In verse 14 tells us, "And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them to Abraham." Abimelech, so far, so good. But you need to go further. You cannot try to misinterpret the command of God. Make that restitution. Right the wrong. make your way right. And then you do other things. You're very active in this and that. Your conscience is telling you, so far, so good, but you have not done the right thing. Let that wife of another man go back to her husband. That's what the Lord requires. That's what he demands. He wants the man and his wife to live together until death do them part. But now, before death even comes, you have taken her to be your wife. Maybe you have wives already like Abimelech, and you want to increase the number in your polygamy. God says, restore the man his wife, and he will pray for you. You know something? God will answer when you do the right thing. I can't hear you. God will answer your prayer when you do the right thing. Let me give you an illustration. Somebody has done something wrong and he feels it. Somebody has done something wrong and he knows it. And he's suspecting that I might have known that this is what he did. He's feeling guilty. He's feeling condemned. He's watching my attitude. Does he know? Has he heard? Has he detected that I am the one that did that thing? And then, I'm not talking, theory. I'm talking practical, real. It happens. And I can point you to 1, 2, 3 that, you know, happens to. And they come to me. And he comes to me. And he says, Pastor, pray for me. And I'm watching his face. And even the plastic smile in his face, you know, is hiding something there. No problem praying. It will not take me a minute or two. I'll pray. But what do you think about that kind of prayer? That's it, the evil thing he has done. He does not want to confess. He does not want to change. He does not want to turn around. You know, that's not biblical prayer. Another time, I don't know whether they teach each other, go and do this, and they do that. And after doing that, I expect they will come, and they always come. They always come. And they say, Pastor, pray for me. And I can tell now, this is like one of them. They don't believe in the revelation of the scripture. They keep on doing evil. And they keep on saying, pray for me, pray for me. God does not answer that kind of prayer of a person that does evil deliberately. He does not have the courage. He does not have the mind. He does not have the humility to confess and to say, I am sorry. I will not allow that to continue. But you know, in the case of Abimelech, he restored him his wife. He restored him his wife so that Abimelech can have his wife 100%. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid servants, and they bear children. God will heal you. The word of the Lord will heal you. Your response to the word of God will heal you in Jesus' name. We're coming now to point number two. Point number two is the boundlessness of definite healing with Emmanuel's anointing. Emmanuel's anointing. We're looking at Luke chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. In verse 19, and to preach, and to proclaim, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. In verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21. In verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The word of God will be fulfilled in your ears, in your life, in Jesus' name. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, it tells us, Luke chapter 4, verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The word with power. That's why he sent the word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Verse 36. In verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Any unclean spirit tormenting any life, they come out in Jesus' name. Verse 40, in verse 40, it tells us here now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, were divers, different diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, and healed them, and heals you and delivers you. Now understand, Christ's healing, sometimes he speaks the word, there's healing. Sometimes he laid hands on the people and they are healed. He doesn't even do similar healing in similar ways. Two blind men came to him, and then they said, have mercy upon us, son of David. What do you want me to do, that our eyes may be opened? And then they said, do you believe I can do this? They said, yea, Lord. They said, be it unto you according to your faith. Didn't even touch them. Didn't even do anything to them. And didn't even lay hands on them. And they were healed. Another time, a blind man was in the sight, in the presence of Christ. And the disciples asked, who sinned? The parents of this man or this man that was born blind? Disciples, let's be reasonable. How could the man have sinned before he was born, and therefore blindness came on him? You know, when we disciples, when we ask questions, we should think through the question we're asking. This man, did he sin that this blindness came on him? And he said, neither the parents nor the man, but that the glory of God may be revealed. And then he looked at the man. He didn't speak the word, another method now. He didn't lay hands on him, another method now. And he made clay and put on his eyes, healing blindness in different ways by the same Christ. So let's understand, don't be wedded to a particular method. This is what must happen. If the preacher, if the one praying for me, if he does it this way, according to my expectation, then I believe. Different methods, but the same name, the name of Christ. He laid hands on him, or he laid hands on every one of them, and they were healed. I pray the healing of the Lord will be definite in every life, in Jesus' name. The Lord went about, you know the verse, there's no harm in reading it again, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. You see there, God the Father is different from God the Son. And God the Son is different from God the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. God anointed Jesus, not anointing himself, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many people? That's why we say his healing was boundless. The boundlessness of definite healing by Emmanuel's anointing. And when you recognize that anointing, when you accept that anointing, and when you accept that Christ has all power and has the needed anointing to take away your infirmity, your disease, your sickness, the recognition of the anointing, the belief, the faith in that anointing will set you free. He went about with that anointing. And Jesus Christ is still the same. Yesterday, yesteryears, today, this century, and forever beyond our time. As he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, he's still doing the same today. He goes about doing good. He will do good in your life. Amen. He will heal all that are oppressed of the devil. Understand? Not oppressed of God. If you are oppressed of God, Jesus cannot come and take that oppression away. That will be saying, Father, I don't agree with you. You shouldn't have put oppression and any kind of disease on this man, on this woman. I disagree with you. I'm going to undo what you have done. Never. The Father And the Son, always in agreement, my Father walketh hitherto, and I work. There's no disagreement, there's no conflict between the Father and the Son. What the Father does, he does. In fact, he said, Philip, don't you believe that God the Father is in me and I in the Father? And the works I do, it's not me, it's the Father that dwells in me that does it. I and my Father are one, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God, for God was with him. And that anointing on Christ will bring a total healing in your life in Jesus' name. John chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 46. John chapter 4, reading from verse 46. So Jesus came again into the Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. That means the man, the ruler, went unto Christ and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He was at the point of death. He might have said, no necessity of going to Christ, because the son is already at the point of death. In our day, at our time, the man will say, the boy is already on oxygen and is gone into coma, is gone into unconsciousness, and the doctors are saying, we cannot treat him anymore. It's of no use. And you sign the paper, we remove the oxygen. But you know, the man didn't accept that. The boy, the child, was at the point of death, and yet he came. Anytime you come, Emmanuel will answer you. Whatever the stage, stage 4, stage whatever of that sickness, Emmanuel has all the power. He will heal you in Jesus' name. Verse 48, in verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, miracles and healings, ye will not believe. You know, there are people that say healing not necessary anymore, miracles not necessary anymore. If you have, you've gone to seminary, you have theology, you know the word, and you know how to preach, that's all that is necessary now. All this healing, signs, wonders, miracles, not necessary. And there are maybe people over here that might have that same concept. Pastor, teach the word. Pastor, be our teacher. Miracles, healing, they already have the hospitals they can go to. leave all that alone. But Jesus said, there are people, there are tribes, there are nations, there are clusters of people, they have not believed, they have their religion, and except they see signs and wonders, ye, they will not believe. There are some believers in different places that may say, there are false prophets, right? There are false miracle workers, right? And so, if we also come and we demonstrate healing, will the people not group us with the false prophets? No. If you don't have anything behind the curtain, you don't have any power apart from the power of the faith in Christ, they'll see your transparency, except they see signs and wonders, they will not believe. Verse 49. In verse 49, and the nobleman says unto him, sir, come down here before my child die. Verse 50. In verse 50, Jesus says unto him, go thy way. Are you not going to pray, go thy way? Are you not to command, go thy way? Are you not going to make a decree, go thy way? Are you not to, are you not going to follow me and go come touch my son, go thy way? Whatever Jesus says will bring healing in your body. But you know, there are people, they glued to just one method. And this is a delicate situation, a terrible situation, a terminal situation. And because of that, they want to be in control of Christ, of his method. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And he went his way. Verse 51. In verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, what did they say? What did they say? Exactly what Christ had said. A confirmation of the words of Christ. Confirmation will come in your life. Yeah. Thy son liveth. Verse 52. It says, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. Now you see the man expected, began to amend. Gradual. He said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, not began to amend, the fever left him. The fever has left you. The typhoid has left you. The malaria has left you. The feverishness has left you. The weakness has left you. If you believe that, it is done. Yeah. Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour. Not beginning to amend, instantaneous. At the same hour, in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. and himself believed, and his whole house. Remember, except he sees signs and wonders, he will not believe. He has seen the sign. He has seen the wonder. He has seen the deliverance and the healing instantaneous on the sun. And he believed. Healing brings more faith in the Lord as Savior. Verse 54. Verse 53, it says, the whole house, the whole family believed. Christ still has power. The power of God, he wills. The power to forgive. The power to heal. The power to bruise your enemy. And the power to raise you to life when you're on your deathbed. He can raise you up again in Jesus' name. We come now to point number three. In point number three, the blessing of desired healing after Emmanuel's ascension. Before Emmanuel's arrival, divine healing. After he arrived in his lifetime with Emmanuel's anointing, we have definite healing now. He went back to heaven. He ascended to heaven, leaving his disciples, leaving the apostles here behind. And after that ascension of Emmanuel, the desired healing continued, will continue in your life, your family, in our church. In our church. And not only being done by the GS, by the convener of GCK, that power you also will manifest in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. He's gone up to heaven, and healing continued. Look at verse 43. In verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the, tell me, the apostles in the plural. Power, the same power in Peter, that same power in Philip, that same power in Stephen, that same power in all the other apostles. That's biblical. Our church will be like that. Power in your life. Power in your mouth. Power in your prayer. In Jesus' name. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. In Acts chapter 3, from verse 2, it says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, who seeing Peter And John, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4. In verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They had something to give. You will have something to give. The Lord will give it to you. It will work in your body. Then it will work in your family. Amen. Then it will work in your community. And everywhere you go, it will work in Jesus' name. I have the power. Say it from your heart. Say it convincingly. When you see somebody sick around you, the first thing is not, let's go to the pastor. You have the pastor there. The Lord will walk through you in Jesus' name. Look on us. Not just look on me. Look on us. The same power in Peter, that same power in John. The same power in William, that same power in, what's your name? What's your name? Mention your name. That same power will work in Jesus' name. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And when I pray, you must expect to receive something of me. You will receive. You didn't come here in vain, and you will not return home in vain. You will receive in Jesus' name. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But thank God today, the church, we're serious now, cannot say silver and gold we have none. Look at all this offering we're collecting. This church has silver and gold. I learned of a preacher somewhere who were having their church service, and he said, now we're going to collect offering. If you have 10,000 naira, raise up your hand. 20,000, raise up your hand. 50,000, raise up your hand. And they were faithful. They raised up their hands. 10,000, I can give. 20,000, I can give. 50,000, I can give. They said, okay, raise up your hand. They raised up their hands. They stood up. He said, now that 10,000, that 20,000, that 50,000, go and give to the poor in your community. I lost my audience. Praise the Lord. All the offering is not just church. There are poor people around. There are unemployed people around. There are indigent people around. But we must build our campground, DLICC. I understand. We must build. We're going to build. But while you're building, your neighbors are dying. Your neighbors who do not have anything to feed themselves. And your fellow brother, your fellow sister has nothing to send children to school. We'll build the LICC, Deeper Life International conference center, but will not throw our hands up in the air. All the offering we can give, we've given to DLICC building, and we can now be at ease and allow our members to die of hunger and to be so destroyed because they have nothing, and we have the money. And what if this church, like we used to do in the olden days, good old days, that we reserve an amount of money aside for charity, that will say, as we're giving, we allocate this amount to the building of DLICC. We allocate this amount to building the district church. The district church we're building, are we not building for people? The people we're building for, they're dying of hunger, malnutrition, starvation. Let's budget. End of the year, we're coming to the new year. Let's budget part of the money. Millions. Millions of our currency to take care of the people. In fact, which one comes first? Let's say your house is leaking and you have your mother dying. How will you spend? Will you first mend the leaky roof or take care of your mother? Which one will you do first? We should give priority to members of our church, even those who are not members, and we know them, and we can contact them. Silver and gold, now we have silver and gold. You know, and sometimes, even myself, we travel around, and as we travel around, you know, some of the governors and some of the people, they appreciate what is happening. They say, Pastor, we know you always give everything to the church. This one, we're giving you directly. And so I cannot say honestly, silver and gold, I have none, I have some. And I'm not going to give everything to the building of DLICC. I'm looking for those who are hungry. I'm looking for those who are dying. I'm looking for those who are impoverished in their lives. And some of the money will go to them. If you know them, tell your coordinator. Tell your group pastor. Tell the people so that we will not be guilty of giving all the money to a building that will not be raptured when Christ comes. Christ is coming to rapture the church and to rapture the people. Take care of the people. Somebody shout, Amen. Silver and gold have I none. Peter said, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You receive strength in Jesus' name. In verse 8 says, and he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. It will heal you. It will deliver you. He will set you free. And what heaven has, the healing, the deliverance, the miracle, the signs, the wonders, you'll enjoy from today and for the rest of your life in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 16. And I'm reading from verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believers here? I said, any believers here? These signs will follow you because you believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, and if they drink, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. It shall not hurt you. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I will recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Emmanuel's ascension. Verse 20. And in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, in their own city, preached everywhere, in their own country, preach everywhere, and now in our continent and in all continents, and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Say that again. Shout that again. This power of the risen Christ will walk through you as well. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. There's healing divine. There's healing definite. There's healing desired, desirable for you, for your family, for your community, for your church, the local church. For everyone, the signs shall follow them that believe. All you have to do is believe. The power has not changed. All power given unto Christ in heaven and on earth. And if Christ resides, abides in you, he abides with you in that power. He loves you. He takes care of your needs. He heals, and he will heal you. But after you are healed for strength, you need food. You need shelter. You need clothing. You need wherewithal. You take care of your life. And if you belong to the church, and you have leaders in the church, healing is not enough. Healing by prayer. But now, we need what to eat. If you're working, praise the Lord. If you're employed, praise the Lord. If you can fend for yourself, praise the Lord. But if you cannot provide for yourself out of no fault of yours, the church will belong to. After the Lord has miraculously healed us, the church should look at us and see what we can do so you remain alive. And the church should not give any excuse. We spent all the collection, all the offering, all the money on building the campground, building the conference center. We spent all the money building the local church building. The people who worship in that building, they also need care. Feed the poor. Clothe the naked. Care for the widows. Care for the fatherless. That's what the Lord has given us to do. I want you to balance up everything. And the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord has answered your prayer. Say, the Lord has answered my prayer. You will not die prematurely. You will live a healthy life. Long life. Mighty purposeful life. And any sickness that came to a wrong place. It was not looking for you. That sickness was blind and then came to your house. Sickness, come out in Jesus' name. Lift up that hand, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that your healing plan is for everyone in your church. Lord, stretch forth your hand, heal your people in Jesus' name. Any form of sickness, long-standing sickness, terminal sickness, at this time, at this hour, touch your people. Heal your people. Deliver your people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, as you heal your people and you make us and you keep us healthy, all the other things we need, clothing, food, shelter, care, provide in Jesus' name. And use us. Lord, use me to provide for the needs of people around me in Jesus' name. This period, we're celebrating Jesus. Emmanuel, the great giver. Lord, give us the nature of Christ. If we need to buy bags of beans, bags of rice, bags of garri, bags of potato, bags of tomato, bags of edible things, help us, Lord, that to celebrate, celebrating Christ, we'll buy and then in our churches, distribution. Give a better amen. Lord, take care of your people. Lord, let the church, this church, become balanced, that we are not only having money for building, we are having money for building lives, building families, building the widows, building the widowers, building the orphans, and building the people of God. Nobody shall have so much to eat that we are eating too much, and the others have not a single meal for every day. Lord, distribute the manna everywhere. And let the goodness of the Lord be available everywhere for everyone, even strangers. At this time of celebrating Christ, help us, Lord, to have such generosity that will touch the lives of strangers around us, in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Well, so much we'll have to give to other people. Healing, yes, for everyone. Health, yes, for everyone. Deliverance, yes, for everyone. Dominion, yes, for everyone. Happiness and joy and longer life for everyone. My brother, for you. My sister, for you. My boy, my daughter there, for you. Lord, spread the happiness everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray.